So this is now the second session of the sermon entitled The Truth of the Law. What we learned yesterday was that the law was not a way for us to be saved, but it was a way for people to live lives worthy as people of God, so that we could live like the people of God and not a way for us to receive salvation. And it was a way for us not to live like the people, the Canaanites, or to live like the Egyptians, like the Jews when they were leaving the land of Egypt. They were taught by God not to live like the Egyptians or the people, the Canaanites, the land in which they were entering. The Lord dealt with the issue of sin, but now the law was for the people of God who had decided that they would live lives as people of God. These were holy teachings and commandments that would guide the way in which they would live their lives. We talk about the Old Testament as being the law of God, but also the five books of Moses as being the law of God. And a lot of the terms are used in a way that can cause confusion. So I want to try and ease confusion, and I want to go through the meaning of the words. So a command is what a parent or a superior would order their child or a subordinate. And in terms of a commandment, it is talking about conditions to be observed in religion. And then the next, number three, is statute, which is a law passed by a legislative body. Number four. Number four is also a law. Number four and five are sort of the same in terms of the English meaning, which is a law, and that can be a legislative law or religious or societal moral law. And the lastly, number six, which is an ordinance, which is an authoritative rule or order or a religious rule or convention. So the laws are So what's contained in the laws is for the people who have already been saved, who have crossed the Red Sea, who have been, which symbolizes like us, we have crossed from death to life through the blood of Christ. So contained in the law is not, the law is not simply there just to show us what sin is. And it doesn't, it's not a way for us to become righteous. But what it is a way of for people who have already been made righteous in God. It is a way of showing them how they should live as a people of God. So if we apply this to ourselves today, if as people who are not saved, we can say that we're still symbolically living in the land of Egypt. But as people who have been saved, we've crossed the Red Sea and we've come. So now we as Christians should not live like the Egyptians do. We should not live as people in this world. And so what we do then is wherever we are, wherever we live, that is the land of Canaan for us. So we don't live in accordance with the way that everybody else lives in this world, like the Canaanites do. We live in accordance to what God wants in this world. And so how we should live, that's contained in the law of God. So we need to know the purpose and the intention behind the law of God. And if you know this intention in the right way, then you can understand the Bible in the right way. And so then we can understand that the way the history flows in the Bible, that flow was determined by whether the people of God obeyed God or disobeyed God. And so we need to know why God gave people these laws. And so then we need to really have the right understanding of the laws of God. As I've said to you before, as a repetition, I'm repeating myself, but the law of God is not a way of his threatening us that if we don't do this, this will happen to us, we'll be punished. It is a way for the people who have already been saved. It is a way for those people to live in a way, in such a way for them to receive the blessings and the peace that God gives us. And so Jesus has said that he's not here to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So then the word of God applies to us even today. It is a way for us, it is teaching us as to how we should live. And so that is why we need to learn about the law. So there are three types of laws, the first being the atonement laws, which are a model for us as to what would happen once Christ came into this world. These atonement laws were a way of keeping a relationship with God. So it was a way in which God could forgive his people for their sins, because it was a way in which he wanted to establish a right relationship with his people. And so the blood of animals was used as a model for the things that were to come with the coming of Christ. With sin, if we have sin, we cannot go before God. And so the laws were given, these atonement laws were given as a way to go before God. And the second type of law were the civil laws that were used to resolve disputes arising between people in the community. Through relationships. And so these laws aren't a model for the things to come, but they were based on the reality of things. And for example, the laws that would fit into this category were laws about what people should eat, because as I said to you before, God wants to give us peace through the laws. And so by giving us health through what we ate, what they ate at the time, God was giving his people peace. So those laws would fit into the second category. So this was a way for people to live in peace with one another and also to be healthy in their physical bodies. So these laws were civil laws. And the third category are the Ten Commandments, laws to allow us to have a whole relationship, a right relationship with God. And so the second and the third category, the civil laws and the Ten Commandments, they're not a model of things to come. But there were a prescription as to how to live in a way as people of God. And so in terms of the atonement laws, that they were a model for the things to come through Jesus Christ. Now that Christ has come, we don't need to abide by those laws anymore. Through the coming of Christ, those laws have now been completed. And so now by faith in Christ, we no longer need to repeat the atonement laws of the sacrifice of animals. They have been fulfilled by the coming of Christ. So there's no need to repeat those laws. They've been completely fulfilled. And what is belongs in this category is circumcision. Now we are circumcised in our hearts. We don't need to engage in that practice anymore. It's been fulfilled. Now the laws that are not modelling on the things to come, the civil laws and the Ten Commandments, God's commandments existed before these laws were recorded. These laws, as I said before, apply to the practicalities of everyday living. And they become the standard and the values by which the people of God live, even today. People are people. Like the essence of a person, their instincts and their human nature doesn't disappear. They're the same. So these laws apply to us as creators of creations of the living God. So if we are born again, we look to these laws to see by what kind of values we should live, by what kind of standards we should live. So we no longer need to do, as I said before, follow the atonement laws, because, as I said, the coming of Christ has fulfilled that. But the other laws, the civil laws and the laws of the Ten Commandments, those laws still apply to us today. We need to know God's purpose and intention behind the laws in which he gave us. If we have been made righteous through the blood of Christ, We need to see the purpose and intention of God behind the laws, because He had a purpose. He wanted to have His people live in a certain way, and He gave the laws in order to fulfill that. He wanted us to have a right relationship with Him and with others through these laws. So when Jesus came to this world, He entered into a lot of debates about the law with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Jesus realized that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had totally missed the point when it came to the commandments of God. All they wanted to do was to obey the law, but in doing so, they totally missed the mark in terms of His purpose, God's purpose, and His intention behind the law. After the Israelites lost their country to the Babylonians, they started to focus on the law and the synagogue as being central to their lives. They decided wholeheartedly that they would obey the law of God, because they knew that that's one of the reasons which led to their demise. And so the elders came together and really tried to make some practical rules in order to help people in obeying the laws. And instead of looking at the Word of God, original Word of God, they instead went and lived according to the elders' interpretation of the Word of God. We need to know God's heart behind His laws. And so Jesus was not opposed to the law in itself when He was arguing with the teachers of the law. What He was opposed to was the fact that the elders of the law had wrongly interpreted a lot of the laws and missed the mark when it came to the intention and the purpose, God's intention and purpose behind the laws. Jesus wanted people to return to God's will and His intention. And I think when you say you have to abide by the law, many people feel a little bit burdened by that, or a little bit pressured by that. But what I want to emphasize to you is you need to really know the purpose and the intention behind the laws of God, and we need to live in accordance to His will and His intentions in our lives. As I've said to you before, the Bible is not a difficult book. It is a letter that God has written to us. And so when it comes to interpreting the Bible, however, we can't just take a literal interpretation of the words all the time. You get a lot of cults arising because they just take the literal word-by-word interpretation of the Bible in the wrong way. But we need to know the intention and the meaning behind the words. So, for example, I can use an example of one of the laws. An ancient Jewish law was that if a man died without giving, without having any children, then his brother was obligated to marry the wife in order to bear children. This is an ancient. It was an ancient cultural practice at the time as well, and it had a purpose behind this law. It is because if women didn't have children at the time, they would be left destitute and they would be find themselves in financial hardship. And we see that before this was made into a law, that before the time of Abraham, that this law was rejected by some people. So we need to know the reason why this law was created. So there were specific purposes behind it. One was to protect the name of the brother, the deceased brother, and to continue on his name with descendants. It was also to stop the Jewish woman from marrying a Gentile man. And thirdly, it was to help the widow in the situation and to protect her from financial hardship and financial ruin. So you need to look at the purpose behind the law, which was to take responsibility for those in hardship. We can see in the Bible that God makes specific provision for the orphans and the widows, and He also says very specifically that if a society or community neglects those people, that they will be punished. So we need to interpret the laws in this kind of way. And so the other law that I want to discuss is an eye for an eye. That's in the law. And we also need to know God's intention behind this law. It was in order to deter people from committing sin. So it is extremely risky and dangerous to interpret the Bible word for word. And so those kind of wrong teachings can throw the church into confusion. And God's intention is not to threaten us with punishment if we don't obey the law. But what God wanted was that his people would live in peace, that they would experience peace, that they would live in love and peace with one another. So as we live in this world, in our current day, we need to interpret God's laws by his purpose and intention behind those laws. God's laws weren't given to us. We're not robots. We have free will. We have our personalities. These laws were given 3,500 years ago. He didn't give it just to those people at that time, but he gave it to people throughout creation, throughout the history of the world. Like, no matter how much technology in this world have changed and advanced over the years, the human is still the same from creation to now. The sin that we commit today, I mean, we see it in our everyday lives. We see the greed that consumes our society, that there are so many rich people there's a small percentage of rich people who hold the majority of wealth in this world. So many people try to use their efforts to really advance what people could do. Someone needs to put their phone on mute, please. On mute. Despite the advancements that we've made, we still see corruption, we still see evil in our communities, in our society. And people have found even more clever ways or better ways to sin against God. So we can say that people can argue that it's an age of enlightenment, but a person's sin is still the same. The sinful nature is still the same in people, in humans. The history of Christianity in Korea is about 100 years. In Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 24, it says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." We have seen in our history, in our church's history in Korea, of churches who do not teach that people must abide by the word of God. And the Sermon on the Mount contained in Matthew chapter 5 to 7. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees of the time, to the believers of the time, but also to us today. These words are still crucial. They're still important for us today. And so Jesus really summarized the law of God by saying that we must love God and love others. And we do that through the laws that we've been given by God, the laws handed down to his people at Mount Sinai. And so these laws, they apply to all nations, to all people, to all believers. And it applies in terms of from the time of creation until the end of this world, these laws are still applicable to us, that these laws given 3,500 years ago have not been revised or upgraded in any way. They just apply to us. They apply to believers in this day and age. You may find that there are difficult parts of the Bible for you to understand, but if you are persistent in your study of the Bible, if you do so in the way that I've taught you to look behind the purpose and the intention of the word, we can see for ourselves how the prophecies of God have been fulfilled. And he has written his laws. He has given us this Bible in a form in which we can understand.
It is not incomprehensible for us. God has created us. He knows how to speak to us in a way in which we would understand. We say that the Bible is difficult for us to understand simply because we don't read it. People are just too afraid to even start the study of the Bible, the reading of the Bible. And another reason why people find the Bible hard is because they don't understand a certain part of it, but then they just deliberately attribute meaning to it or an interpretation to it that is inaccurate. So in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. And I think Peter's referring to Paul's letters in that verse. And God has not given us the Bible just to read it once through, but for us to read throughout the rest of our lives, to continue reading, to repeat, to repeatedly read throughout our lives. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 19, the law is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord as God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees. And not consider himself better than his brothers, or turn from the law to the right or to the left, then he and his descendants will reign a long time over the kingdom in Israel. This is talking about what the kings should do. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 19. So if we don't understand the laws set out in the Old Testament, we cannot understand, fully understand the New Testament. Because the New Testament is the fulfillment of the laws, the fulfillment of the prophecies contained in the Old Testament. So if we don't study the Old Testament in the right way, if we don't understand it in the right way, then we cannot simply understand the New Testament in the right way as well. And so then if we don't understand it, then we are can be easily influenced by other people's interpretations, which can be the wrong interpretation. The Bible is something that we can all understand, fully understand. So as we now start the chronological study of the Bible, we want to meet the heart of God and his love for us in the Bible. So God is not simply our Savior who's just saved us from hell. We need to know the context behind in which God has sent his Son. We need to know the things that have happened before God sent his Son into this world through the New Testament, and therefore the Old Testament is important. Some people say there's no answers contained in the Bible, but that is wrong. And if we are persistent in our study of the Bible, then we'll be able to come to learn the truths of the Bible. So we want to read the Bible from the beginning to end. We need to know the big picture. We need to know the history behind the historical context behind the Word of God. And so by knowing the bigger picture, we'll be really be able to understand where the people that we are studying about fit in the larger context. Let's do this together. I think it should take us about a maximum of 5 years for us to really to know the Bible from beginning to end, but to do it well. And so I want you throughout this week to really meditate on the Word of God, to open your hearts to the Word of God and sow the Word of God into your hearts. We'll now pray.